announcements.
I just want to highlight that choir practices start this week on Wednesday evening. Senior choir is at 7:30, that's for the adults. At 7 p.m. is Joy Choir, which is for our youth ages 6th grade through high school. And Jubilee Choir is on Wednesday evenings at 7 o'clock, and that is for kindergarten through 5th grade. In the bulletin it says Jubilee is on Sunday morning, but Jubilee Choir will be on Wednesday evenings at 7, at least initially. Thanks.
All right. If there are no more announcements, we will start our time of concerns. So wait until the mic comes around to you.
I want to thank you for all your prayers for Amy getting over to Japan. Continue to pray for her as she finds her way on the trains around Tokyo. She found her way to orientation, so obviously it must be going well. For those of you who are interested, I can give you her blog address and her email address if you'd like to be in contact with her.
I want to share the joy to have Matt here as his first Sunday, the beginning of this next chapter of Little Sitar's history, and Matt and his family's history as well. We know that God has this planned out far ahead from what we can see, and he's been working in developing Matt for all of his life, and he is called here by God to serve us, and to serve God here among us, I would say. And so I guess Matt gets to pray for the joys and concerns, so he can pray for that joy as well. Thanks, Matt.
I'd like to put my wife, Joyce Lookinbill, on the prayer list. She was in the hospital, and now she's over at the Mifflin Center.
All right. If there are no other joys and concerns, please turn in your hymnals to page 613 and join in singing In Heavenly Love Abiding.
Please stand.
Thank you.
Please join me in the call to worship. Come, let us worship. For we are the people of God's pasture. Come, let us worship and bow down. For we are the sheep of God's hand. Come, let us worship and bow down before the Lord our Maker. For the Lord is our God, and God desires our worship. Please turn to hymn number 344.
It is indeed a great joy to be here with you this morning on my first official day bringing the morning message. We do appreciate your produce, all the prayers for Janice. She is here this morning, and we just thank you for just the outpouring of love that we've already seen here at Little Swatara. What a blessing it's truly been. From the first service, we had a prayer request from Tim, who is home from Manor Care. There is swelling that needs to go down in order for the prosthesis, however you say that word, and to be installed. And let's just turn to the Lord this morning. Father, we do want to thank you for this incredible opportunity to gather freely in this place to worship you. Father, we know across the world there are missionaries that we are praying for in this very moment that cannot worship freely. And we want to lift those missionaries up to you. We want to pray a protection upon them. Lord, we do thank you for that safe arrival to Japan, and we pray for her mission there while she's there, that you would protect her and guide her. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, for Joyce and the needs that she has. Lord, you know exactly what they are, and we just pray for healing. We pray for your special touch upon her. And Father, you know each of those things that are amidst our own individual cares this morning. And we pray that you would indeed just allow us to be surrounded by your love and your presence, that we would turn to you in our suffering, and we would know that as a family, we care for one another as we are all sheep of the same flock. So Father, we just thank you for the way you move in our midst. We thank you for the way that you take care of us, Lord. And so during these next few moments of silent prayer, we confess those wrongdoings this week and we ask of your forgiveness, Lord Jesus. Lord, you are an incredible, mighty, and powerful God. But yet, despite being all-knowing, you choose to have a relationship with us. Lord, there are times we fall and we know that our pieces are shattered, but through you, we can have those pieces picked up again. So no matter where we are this morning, Lord, I pray that we would just draw near to you. We would come into your presence that is among us and just allow ourselves to be made whole the way that you designed us to be. So, Father, we thank you for your love overflowing. We thank you for the joy of being here in this place, in this community. And we give you all glory and honor. And we pray this week we would share your good news with others. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Please turn in your hymnals to hymn number 110, Oh, for a Thousand Tongues to Sing. 110.
As we move into our time of offering this morning, I just have a little bit of food for thought for you. It is never about what we give to God. We don't earn his favor and can't buy his love. God blesses us purely because he delights in us. It is his gift. When we give, it is in simple gratitude, a gift from our heart to touch him in return. A gift given out of love, not obligation, delights our God and blesses us more than we can ever imagine. Please pray with me. Dear God, thank you for all of the gifts that you have given us. You have blessed us in more ways than we can imagine. Help us to glorify you by being cheerful givers. In your name we pray. Amen.
I am telling you the truth. The man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who goes in through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him. The sheep hear his voice as he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. When he has brought them out, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow someone else. Instead, they will run away from such a person, because they do not know his voice.
Jesus told them this parable, but they did not understand what he meant. So Jesus said again,
I am telling you the truth. I am the gate for the sheep. All others who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Those who come in by me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only in order to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come in order that you might have life. Life in all its fullness. I am the good shepherd who is willing to die for the sheep. When a hired man who is not a shepherd and does not own the sheep sees a wolf coming, he leaves the sheep and runs away. So the wolf snatches the sheep and scatters them. The hired man runs away because he is only a hired man and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd. As the Father knows me, and I know the Father, in the same way I know my sheep, and they know me,
and I am willing to die for them.
There are other sheep which belong to me that are not in this sheep pen. I must bring them too. They will listen to my voice, and they will become one flock with one shepherd. The Father loves me because I am willing to give up my life in order that I may receive it back again. No one takes my life away from me. I give it up of my own free will. I have the right to give it up, and I have the right to take it back. This is what my Father has commanded me to do.
Therein ends the scripture reading for this morning. Have you ever dreamed of taking a hot air balloon ride? Has anyone ever been on a hot air balloon ride this morning? Some of you? Cool, excellent. Well, this morning I want you to fly away with me this morning, high above, watching the mother birds swoop in from the sea with mouthfuls of fish. Hear the ocean roar and the waves crash as below, thousands of young birds are eagerly waiting for their next meal. All are screaming their peculiar cry, bumping and pushing, falling over one another and scrambling about. Somehow, precisely, the mother picks out the single voice of their own chick from the teeming, noisy crowd. It seems like a miracle. I suppose we shouldn't be all too surprised. Perhaps all human voices sound alike to birds. Yet a father or mother will recognize their child's voice in a crowded room. We always seem to know the laugh or cry of our own family members or our closest friends. You know those hearty belly laughs, and those laughs you're not sure if the person is going to be okay. But those of us not all that familiar with the bird or animal kingdoms are often startled at just how much animals can distinguish between people, not to mention between members of their own species. I had that most memorable experience one day as I attempted to get my friend's Newfoundland to sit and stay. If you know anything about that breed, you know how big they tower above your waist. Well, this guy's voice did not correlate with a voice of command. And that behemoth jumped upon me and made me putty in his paws. I still remember the owner, my friend, coming out and yelling at Mufasa. What an appropriate name. Get down, sit, stay, don't move. And wouldn't you know, that giant just sat there and looked at its mama with that long strand of drool hanging from its face. Was I taught a lesson that day about voices? You betcha. Was I all that amused? Not a chance. To this day, we can see a shepherd in the Middle East heading into the crowded sheepfold and call out each of his sheep by name. There's something about voices. Then there's that phone call you get in an instant. You know it's your mom or your dad or your brother or your friend. We can even tell by the sound in their voice how their day is going. My good friend recalls that day in 2007 when his phone rang, and this particular guy was out of breath. And it was during archery season, so he knew I had just drug a deer out of those woods, because he knows that I'll kill him, I'll eat him, but I won't gut him. When your child is crying in the midst of a noisy crowd, or he decides to play hide and seek in the department store at the mall, that small voice is distinguished amongst the hustle and the bustle of a deafening world in which we live. And there in the middle of that clothes rack, we find our 5-year-old smiling away. In our scripture lesson for today, there's a voice that I pray we are all familiar with. A voice that when it calls out, we are all eager to follow. In this instance, Jesus is amidst the sheep, and in verse 11, he makes this claim that he is the good shepherd. But what exactly was he saying when he made that claim? What is a shepherd? The modern day equivalent would be like a doggy daycare. But what about in Jesus' time? What was the shepherd's role then? We can summarize it as caring for their flock of sheep. It seems pretty simple, right? But the everyday things made that life a bit more complicated. Day by day, a shepherd would need to lead his flock near green pastures so they could safely graze. If they didn't eat every day, eventually they would die. Now, when Jesus referred to shepherds, he was referring to the shepherds of Israel. Now, when I think of green pastures, I don't exactly think of Israel. I think perhaps of Ireland. Israel, you see, is desert. It's difficult, very difficult, to find green pastures. With the lack of rainfall, they had to move around during the summer months and had to be prepared to be away from their base of supplies for days or weeks at a time. It's only been a few weeks living away from what we have known here at Little Swatara, and I'm sure those items we're missing will soon pop up. But oh Lord, how I'm thankful I have my toothpaste and underarm deodorant. But think about that for a moment. Being away from all you needed, and as if that wasn't hard enough, leading the flock, sheep have poor vision. They have what we call peripheral vision, and when it comes to depth perception, they can barely see beyond their nose. It's like that very first moment when we walk out of the eye doctor with our fancy new glasses and we go to step down, and we about fall because we thought it was much further than it actually was. And you know, if a shepherd wasn't careful, a sheep could walk right off of a cliff. The sheep were so dependent on their sense of hearing that that familiar voice of the shepherd was critical. It was my preteen years at Knoebels Grove, and I had wandered from my family. Soon I realized I was lost, and I remember listening for their voices. They were never heard, and that day I was led by a staff member to security to determine their whereabouts. Boy, was I grateful to hear their voices again. But also, part of being a shepherd meant risking your life, even giving it up to defend your flock against threats. Those of us acquainted with sheep know they are utterly defenseless. They are dependent upon their shepherd. Rushing walls of water down the valleys from sudden heavy rainfalls could sweep them away. Robbers could steal them. Wolves could attack the flock. You remember the movie Lion King? It's like Simba and Nala, and they find themselves amidst the elephant graveyard. Now, in that scene, you remember three hyenas creeping up upon them. But it's Zazu who sweeps in like a bird flying as a shepherd and saves Simba and Nala from the inherent danger. There's also driving snow in winter, blinding dust and burning sands in summer, long days and nights in the field made for a lonely life. To entertain themselves in part, they'd talk to their sheep. You could hear it even today like this. Henry, how was your day? Bad. Well, I'm sorry to hear that, Henry. How are the field of greens? Bad. And the conversation would go on and on, and the shepherd would feel as if nothing was going right for his sheep. It was always bad. It was during those cool winter months where the sheep were kept inside a pen at night. At times, these were located in or near a cave. Some were permanent enclosures with a roof, but most often simply an open pen with a stone wall covered with thorn bushes. Talk about stress. One opening, you in front of it, an entire area surrounded, and you to protect it with your own body and your own skill. Now, I could be okay with the lions, I could be okay with the bears, and even the wolves, but if snakes started to crawl in, forget it, I'm looking for another job. My son, Malachi, loves creating with Lego blocks, and he's formed what he saw this pen looking like. I invite you after the service to come check it out. He's pretty darn good with making creations out of Legos. We can see in that creation how robbers and thieves would attempt to enter into areas other than the one opening where the shepherd was guarding. One would break in and the other would live in the wilderness and assault passerbys. So Jesus, amongst this, makes this claim that he's not only a shepherd, but he's the good shepherd.
By referring to himself as the true shepherd, Jesus was invoking imagery that would have been familiar to his hearers that day. He used symbols of sheep and their shepherds several times, referring to himself as not only the true shepherd, but the good shepherd, and furthermore, the door of the sheep, or the gate. These three statements found here in John 10 present a complete picture of the Lord, who is our shepherd, found in Psalm 23, a familiar reading from the Bible. It goes, "The Lord is my shepherd, I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows, he leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength, he guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings. Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever." Particularly verse 1, "The Lord is my shepherd, I have all that I need." As we go through this life, oftentimes we feel as though the materialistic world we live in, we need to keep up with. But rest in this assurance that the Lord is our shepherd and we have all that we need. You see, at night the shepherd lies down at the gate to the pen to give his life, if necessary, to protect his flock. The thief can only climb in over the fence because the shepherd is guarding the gate. Jesus is the true shepherd to the sheep, to the true believers who are his. We know him, we recognize his voice, and we follow only him. What Jesus is saying here ties right into John 14:6. "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me." Jesus is not only the good shepherd who gives his life willingly for his sheep, but he is also the gate or the door of the sheep. The Greek word here for door means literally an opening. Used in a parable such as this, it's a metaphor for one who gives salvation, who opens the door to heaven. So Jesus is the true shepherd who guards his sheep, the good shepherd who gives his life for them. And the good news this morning, the doorway to heaven for the sheep who know him and are known by him. Jesus also says there were many who came before him, pretending to be good shepherds. But he says they are thieves and robbers who come in among the flock. He was alluding to the false shepherds of Israel, the Pharisees who did not love the people, nor were they willing to sacrifice for them. These self-appointed, self-righteous, false shepherds led the sheep of Israel astray from the true knowledge of the Messiah, clinging to what we know as a works-based religion that could not lead to salvation. Brothers and sisters, please hear this. Know that it is in Jesus Christ alone that your salvation is found. You see, these leaders were not the true shepherds of Israel, but were like thieves that plundered the flock for their own gain. Sadly, such false shepherds still abound today, more interested in fleecing the flock for their own personal gain, instead of feeding and protecting the sheep as true under-shepherds, as the true shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, would require. Some, as we see in the Old Testament, prophesy of the coming of Christ. Some are referencing the character of God, how he cares for us. While others yet are referring to leaders of that time, such as King David or King Solomon. Sadly enough, some still refer to those people who have led them astray. In Jeremiah 56, it says, "My people have been lost sheep. Their shepherds have led them astray." And in Isaiah 9:15, "Those who guide this people mislead them, and those who are guided are led astray." When Jesus was making the claim that he was the good shepherd, he was distinguishing himself, saying he was not going to lead them astray. He was the shepherd who had their good intentions in mind, that he cares for them, and that he is the same shepherd today that cares for you and I. He was quite literally saying, "I will lay down my life for you. Jesus was famous for taking common things such as a seed, a vine, a water well, and using them to teach eternal truth. Perhaps on this day he had seen a shepherd herding his flock into an enclosure for the night. And so he launches into today's lesson. It's implied, if we're in his flock, we're going to be okay. If we're in his flock, we're going to be okay. And then again, he makes that claim, he's the gate. Think, as we have alluded to earlier, of him being the doorway, the only way into the sheepfold. I know, it's a bold statement. It's an exclusive statement. If Jesus is the gate, notice, he does not say a gate, then there's only one way to get into God's flock. Instead of questioning whether there's only one way, we should rejoice that there is a way through Jesus Christ, our Messiah, our Lord, our King. We see in these verses that he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When we confess with our mouths that Jesus is Lord and surrender our lives to him, leaving behind our old sin nature and living new lives for him, our name is written in the book of life. We no longer wonder, but we know that our eternity will be spent with him. There's complete freedom, my friends, in this knowledge, recognizing that it is Christ himself who gathers into one the children of God scattered abroad. The question is, do we know him this morning? Have we confessed our sins? Have we received his forgiveness? Do we believe that he died on a cross to pay for our sins, that he was raised from the dead and on the third day has given us the opportunity to spend eternity with him? But church, sometimes it's only a head knowledge. Sometimes that knowledge remains right here, and we become thinkers and we don't transfer it to our hearts. But what I'm learning very quickly here at Little Swatara is it's not just head knowledge. There are those in this congregation that truly care for this flock, that truly want to see others know that their good shepherd is leading them and will take care of them, as we've seen already with my wife. So are we alive and proclaiming the good news about the good shepherd? As Romans 1:16 states, are we not ashamed of the gospel because it is God's power for salvation to everyone who believes? People are dying not knowing Jesus as their Lord and Savior, and it breaks my heart, and I pray that it breaks yours too. Today is a new day. The past is behind us, our future is right in front of us, and our mission is to reach the lost, to demonstrate that love, that kindness, that compassion to all that we encounter. Are we in for that? Are we willing to sign up and say yes to God's voice? But what's critical for us here is that relationship between the sheep and the shepherd. Again, we understand that the sheep will only listen to his master's voice, and a true shepherd will recognize his own sheep. In the event of that thief entering the sheepfold, the sheep know to scatter and go another direction. Think of this, dear friends, in terms of the voices we hear in our world telling us to do things contrary to what our Lord would want us to. We're in a spiritual battle on a daily basis. There's an enemy that will do anything to prevent us from opening our mouths to share about the good news of Jesus Christ, who loves them unconditionally. As we listen more and more to this good shepherd's voice, we will know him. It's through his word, and those voices of this world will become foreign and less likely to be acted upon. This can't be emphasized enough. Clearly, no such relationship can exist between a stranger and a sheep. The enemy has no foothold. He's been defeated and will be cast into the lake of fire. Amen. And we know, children, as the school year continues, students will hear others speaking in ways that don't line up with their beliefs. The difficult choice is to remain set apart, to remain connected to their shepherd. And though it may be tried, and at times we may crumble, but that opportunity to connect to our true Savior is there to pick up the pieces. and turn from that which led us astray. And as adults, we know the options available to us that affect our words, our actions. And it's proven the more we are exposed to something, the more likely it becomes that we too can wander off from its influence. Could it be time to disconnect the cable for a while? Could it be time to turn off the internet or forsake the media options that are full of vulgar and inappropriate slang? There are many who came before Jesus claiming to be the only way, and there will continue to be false messiahs among us. Our hearts, our minds must be able to discern his voice calling. We've come to know, we've come to experience that there is fullness in this life that he calls us to. And no doubt there is death among those false shepherds. But Jesus himself was willing to sacrifice himself for the sheep, for us. At face value, this would seem to put the sheep at risk. But Jesus draws attention to the voluntary act of sacrifice, which would benefit the sheep. This is an act on behalf of others, not like the hired hand that would have run away. Together, as a flock, we can invest in one another. We can love one another. We can share with our concerns. And we can listen to our shepherd's voice and not be led astray. I've learned in my studies that sheep are actually very social creatures. And I've noticed that that is a strong characteristic of Little Swatara. And even more fascinating, sheep have best friends. Now, I don't know about you this morning, but what better best friend could we have than Jesus himself? And I want you to know this morning, as the newly called shepherd here at Little Swatara, I do not take lightly the role of fulfilling my love for the Lord by feeding and tending to this flock. But there's one more thing about sheep that we need to understand. Sheep cannot correct themselves from certain positions. You see, if a sheep is on his back, he needs backing. No pun intended. That sheep cannot get him or herself upright from that position, and if left unaided, will eventually die. What we need to know, brothers and sisters, this morning, we too need backing. We need help when we find ourselves in a position we can't get ourselves out of. But know in all this, with the Holy Spirit as our guide, we can tend to this flock. We can be an example of a godly shepherd. The promise of full life, full to overflowing, is as relevant for us today as it was then. How might we, as Jesus' sheep, learn to be more attentive to his voice and less easily deceived by those who seek to harm us? Let's pray. Father, we thank you that we can turn to you. We know that you are our good shepherd, that we can listen to your voice and only your voice. And the distractions that we find in this world, whether through media, whether through other individuals, Lord, we know that when we look to your word, that we can find comfort, we can find guidance. So Lord, this day we lean on the Holy Spirit to take us through this life, to give us opportunities to share that good news of salvation. Father, thank you for loving, for caring for us as the good shepherd. And it's in Jesus' name, amen.
I invite you to turn your hymnals to hymn number 100. Praise him, and please stand.
And now, Lord Jesus, empower us to nurture those newborn in faith, to search for those still scattered on the hillsides of the world, waiting for shepherd love. Empower us to gather together your other sheep in our communities and to the ends of the earth. Empower us, Lord, to tend your flock. Amen. Go out with joy.